So for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the power behind this statement. The duty is ours. The results are His. The results are God's. The duty is ours. The results are God's. We've also learned what our duty is. And we learned what our duty is directly from Jesus' own words, which He speaks to us in John chapter 6, verse number 29. This is from the Amplified Bible. John 6, verse number 29. This is when the people who were following Jesus came and asked Him, what is it that the Lord requires? What is it that the Lord, what's the work that the Lord wants from us? Jesus replied, this is the work, the service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one who He has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in His messenger. So this is our duty. This is our service to the Lord. Our duty is to believe in Jesus Christ. And that also means we're to believe in this Word, because Jesus is the Word. Now, one of the things that I said last week, I said it several times as a point of emphasis. If we stand on the Word of God, and we continue to stand on the Word of God, even when that which we're believing for, even when the circumstances are contrary to what you're believing for and what you're speaking, if you continue to stand on the Word of God, the circumstances will always line up with the Word of God. If you continue to stand on the Word of God, it is the only possible conclusion. Stand on the Word of God, and the circumstances will line up with the Word of God. Nobody seemed real excited about that except for Chris. That's true. Stand on the Word and continue to stand. There's a few more smiles, but it's true. Keep standing on the Word. Okay, so if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you also heard me say several times, well, I'll get to that in a second. You know that the text we've been reading from is from Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, that's where we see John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. And John the Baptist has that moment of doubt about Jesus. And so John sends two of his disciples to Jesus, and they ask for John, are you the one that was prophesied about? Or should we be looking for another? And we also learned what we are to do when we're in that same prison of doubt that John the Baptist was in. Because John sent his two disciples to ask Jesus. And when they arrived, they found Jesus teaching and preaching to the crowd. Do you remember what we learned last week? What it means, what the word teaching means in the Greek? It means to give instruction in the word from his own mouth. Teaching is instruction from the Word in His own mouth. So this is what I said last week. Read the Word. When you read the Word, you are reading from His own mouth His promises, His perfections from His own Word. Read the Word, but read the Word out loud. Read the Word and speak the Word out loud. Speak it from His lips to your lips with life and power. Amen? I've got to work you guys up this morning. Okay, so the last thing I want to remind you of before we get back into all these things that we're going to build upon this morning. When Jesus gave His response to John's disciples, His final instructions to John when John was in that prison of doubt was what He spoke in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 6. Again, I'm sharing this from the Amplified Bible. Matthew 11, verse 6. And blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. Meaning, not offended by the Word, not rejecting the Word and His promises. Even when the things in our life appear to be at odds with what the Word says, we still continue to believe the Word. And we see that that person is blessed. If you believe the Word and you stand on the Word, even when your circumstances are contrary, blessed. And what did we see that blessed meant last week? Blessed meant one who is possessing God's favor. It means one who is fully satisfied no matter what the circumstances. And we saw that John the Baptist himself, eventually, had that place where he was fully satisfied. Even in prison, he was fully satisfied. So over the past 3 weeks, you've also heard me make this statement. When you're standing on the word of God, stand on the word and speak the word in faith. Because when you speak the word in faith, you are enforcing the victories that Jesus has already established for you. You accept that? Stand on the word, speak the word in faith, and when you speak the word in faith, you are enforcing the victories that Jesus has already established for you. We accept that, but I think sometimes we also still wonder about it. Because so often the circumstances of our life do appear to be contrary to the word that we stand on. Let's go back and look at the very beginning verses of John's gospel. Because they were going to find a very simple and yet a very powerful revelation that we can build upon for today. So this is the first three verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He's part of that Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Word. This is the Word. This is Jesus revealing Himself to us on a daily basis in truth and in power. Jesus is the Word that was from the beginning. And everything that was made, everything that was created through Jesus, the Word. How were all things created? They were created through Jesus, the Word. If that's the case, then doesn't it make sense? It's probably beneficial for us to understand what the word Word means, right? If Jesus is the Word, what does the Word actually mean? So the Greek word for Word is logos. I love this. Logos means to speak. We're talking about speaking the word of God, and when you speak the word of God in faith, you enforce the things He's already done. The word actually means to speak. And that itself ties right back to the whole creation story, because everything that was created was spoken into existence, right? God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and so forth. The word is speak. So let this settle into your mind. Jesus is the word. The word is to speak. So all of the word, all of scripture, is Jesus' spoken word. It's spoken from His own mouth, either directly from His mouth or from the mouths of His prophets or of His men and women as stirred by the Holy Spirit. But as such, all Scripture has His creative power behind it. Think about that. All Scripture has His creative power behind it. So when you speak the Word, you are speaking His spoken Word. You are speaking, you are enforcing His spoken Word so that the spiritual realm realities displace these natural realm realities, which are in conflict with His Word. Does it make sense? Am I going too fast? Read the Word. When you read the Word, you're reading from His own mouth, His promises, His perfections of His own spoken Word. Speak the Word. Read it, but read it out loud. Speak it. Speak His Word to your situation. Because you're speaking from His lips to your lips. This is His spoken word. You're speaking from His lips to your lips, His life and His power. Jesus is the Word. Now, the definition of word goes on to mean this. You know I love definitions, and I love this part. So everything we've learned so far is talking about the creative power. It's the word is spoken. Jesus is the word. This is His word that's spoken. So here's the rest of what the word by definition means. It means, I got to find that exact first word. It means the expression of that intelligence in speech that humans can understand. That's beautiful. The word means the expression of that intelligence in speech that humans can understand. That means this word is Jesus speaking his intelligence, his wisdom, his promises to you and I, so that you and I can understand it, receive it, and speak it from our own mouths with his authority, so we get the results of him in our lives. Speak the word of God. Speak it and enforce his victories and his promises in your life. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to speak his word over everything in my life. Which is why Proverbs is so powerful when it says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Don't just read the word quietly. Don't just sit back timidly. Look, it's great to read the word. Don't get me wrong. Read the word all you can. But there are times that we need to be loud. There's times that we need to read the word and speak it out loud. There's times that we need to make a noise. There's times that we need to read the word, speak it out loud, and make a spiritual ruckus in the spiritual realm. Amen? This is the power of the word. Speak the word. Now, as I said, 20 of us tomorrow are leaving to go to Israel. And I think 11 of us, something like that, about half of us, are from this body. Now, one of the places we're going to go to, and one of the most powerful places, one of my favorite places in Israel, is Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel's that place where Elijah has that showdown with all those false prophets of Baal. And it's the place where God pours down his fire from heaven and consumes the offering, the sacrifice that Elijah has put forth. What a great event. One of the great things is when you're standing there and you try to picture 850 false prophets and all of Israel gathered there watching. This is a great event because all of Israel was gathered there as spectators. That's what the word says. Not spectators, that's my spin on it. But all of Israel was there watching. They were there as spectators to see who is God. And then one of the most powerful verses, one of the key verses for that moment, is when Elijah says, asks this question to all of the people of Israel who are assembled there and watching. This is what he asks in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. I want to sing that song again, Tony. I want to sing it right now. I love the word. And Elijah came to all the people and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. What Elijah is asking the people, he's asking them, how long are you going to be of two opinions? How long are you going to live like the world while you're trying to serve the Lord? Because those are opposing mindsets. And the response that the people of Israel give to Elijah's question, their response is, they answer him not a word. That's a pretty strong question that Elijah is asking them. That's a pretty direct question. They answer him not a word. Excuse me. They answer him not a word because they're not ready to be fully committed to God. You know, too often we want all the things of Jesus, but we also want the things of the world. And the things of the world, the influence of the world, keeps us from doing our duty to believe in Jesus and to believe in his word and his word exclusively. There's no middle of the road. We are either all in with the word of God or we're not. We're either all in or we're not. There's no middle of the road. You can't be of two opinions. I have to choose to believe what the word says, even when my situation tells me something different. That's where it's hard. But that's why we come together as a body of believers. Because as you're sitting next to people and you're developing relationships, we should be developing relationships of people who will stand with us and strengthen us. So that when I feel weak, I know that somebody is praying for me. There is no middle ground. We either believe the word, and we're all in on the word, or we're not. Now, if I'm not all in, if we're not all in on the word of God, if we're not ready to be all in on the word of God, listen, the word of God can be hard to take. It can be hard to believe. For example, when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum, he was telling those who were gathered there that he was the bread of life. This is what he said in John chapter 6, verse number 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He's telling them that whoever consumes his flesh and his blood abides in him, and he in them. But the one who doesn't has no life in him. Now, some of Jesus' followers were there, and when they heard that, they said, well, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? If we're not all in on the word of God, the word of God can be hard to take and hard to believe. These followers were not all in on the word of God. They heard the word spoken, but they walked away from Jesus because his word was hard. Too many times in this world, people walk away, even in the body of Christ. Too many times, people walk away from the word because it's hard to accept. It's hard to believe, especially when our circumstances are telling us something different. It's hard to believe because sometimes the things that we see in this life, our experiences, our past experiences, tell us something different. Listen, if your body's telling you that you're sick, it's hard to believe what the word says, that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. It's hard to believe any of the promises in the word of God when what you're experiencing is the opposite of what the word says. But this is why we cannot be of two opinions. We either accept the word of God as the truth unconditionally. We believe the word of God unconditionally, or we stay in the world. And if we stay in the world, then we accept the things of the world. And all the things of the world are contrary to the word of God and to his promises. Now, some of Jesus' followers, they were offended by his word. And some of his followers walked away from Jesus. Now Jesus then said this. He asked this question of his 12, of his own 12 disciples. This is in John chapter 6. We're getting a lot of John chapter 6 these last couple of weeks. John chapter 6, this is verse number 67. You know it's got to be a good chapter if there's at least 67 verses in it. That's a long chapter. So Jesus asks this question of his 12 disciples. Jesus then said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Jesus knows the hearts of his disciples. And just like Elijah, all those centuries before, Jesus is asking them. He's asking the disciples, are you all in? Are you all in the word or not? Because, guys, you can't be of two opinions. You can't live like the world and walk in the power of the word. Now, with that in mind, let's go back and let's look at Jesus' response to those followers of his who did walk away, who would walk away from him. This is what it says in still John chapter 6. This is verses 61 through 63. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Jesus is saying, if you can't handle the spiritual truth of his death as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, as evidenced by the body and the blood, if you can't accept that, then how will you ever be able to accept and receive Jesus resurrecting from the dead and ascending to the throne of God for their salvation? No matter what happens, no matter what we experience in this life, no matter what we see, no matter what we're told, we do not get offended by the word. We do not reject the word. Because there is no middle ground in the spiritual realm. We're either all in on the word or we're not. We need to be all in. We need to believe the word of God totally, without reservation. This is what our duty is. Our duty is to believe in the one that he sent. Our duty is to believe in Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Word. Our duty is to believe the Word, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what someone else tells us. We believe the Word, and we keep standing on the Word. Jesus also said, his words are spirit and life. His words are spirit because they are from the beginning truth. And because his words are life, that is why we need to speak this word, speak these promises. That's why we speak his word in faith, enforcing the victories that he's already established for us. Listen, whatever it is that you need in your life, whatever it is that you'd be speaking the word for, it's not like when you speak the word, Jesus has to get up from his seat, seated at the right hand of the Father, up. Donna needs something. I got to get on this. No, it's already done. He did everything 2,000 years ago. Whatever needs Donna might have today, he took care of 2,000 years ago. It's done. It's finished. He doesn't have to do anything. It's already done. It's up to us. We're the ones who enforce what he's already done because we speak the word. We stand on the word and we speak the word. This is what our duty is. We speak the word. You guys remember when Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he said to them, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter did his duty. He believed in Jesus as the Word. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, listen to what Jesus said in response to that faith that believed and spoke the word. This is what Jesus said in response to that. This is from Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. Jesus said, that faith has the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said, that person of faith, when he speaks, the natural realm realities will be displaced by the spiritual realm realities and truths, which are the kingdom of God. And Jesus himself, in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus himself took back the keys of sin and death. He took back the keys of the kingdom. He took back the authority. And he's given you and I that authority in his name. So when we speak the word, we're speaking his spoken word. And we're speaking it in the authority of his own name. This is what our duty is. We can't be of two opinions. We can't be living like the world and serving the word. We can't be of two opinions. We have to believe in Jesus Christ and believe in his word. Stand on the word and continue to stand on the word. Speak the word in faith, enforcing the victories that he's already done. This is our duty. This is what our duty is. Then the results are his. We do our duty. results are His. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I had said earlier, if we're not ready to be all in on the Word of God, it can be hard. The Word can be hard to take. It can be hard to believe. We're about to partake. How many times in our lives have we taken communion? I mean, probably for some of us, hundreds and hundreds of times. I've said this before. It's easy for us to believe, and maybe I'm just speaking me. It's easy for us to understand what the cup is. The cup is His blood. It is that sacrifice that He made. It's His blood shed because He's the perfect sacrifice. It's paying the price for our sins. Because when He shed His blood and died for us, as we accept that sacrifice, we now have relationship with the Father once again. Through Jesus and His sacrifice, we have relationship through the Father. So we have that relationship with the Father. But I would always tell Donna, when sometimes we were coming back from Pastor Menke's, and I think, you know, I understand the Word, but sometimes I don't really understand what the bread is for. I understand it's His body broken. I understand that, but I knew there's something more to it. Well, Jesus is the Word. He is His body. The Word says that this is His body broken for us. He's the Word. This is His body. When we partake together in just a few minutes, you're eating His body. That's what He said. Are you offended by this? You have to consume. What we're doing is we are eating the Word. When we take that bread, that is the Word of God. We're eating His Word. We're taking His Word, His body, which is broken for us, the Word. We're taking that into ourselves. So that should be a reminder. When we sit down and you take the cup and you take the bread, when you're taking the cup, man, have that thankfulness in your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice that you made for me, that I now, through you, have relationship once again with the Father. Thank you. That means I'm a joint heir. That means I am seated with Jesus Christ. I'm seated with Him in the spiritual realms as a joint heir. Everything that He said in the Word, everything that He won, every victory, every promise that's here, it's mine and it's yours. So when you're eating that bread, you're eating the Word. You're eating those promises. So remember that. And the next time you speak the Word, remember, the Word is in you. You've eaten it, but the Word is in you because you serve Jesus Christ and He is in you and He is the Word. And we speak the Word, we are enforcing the things that Jesus has already done. Amen.